The Innocent, Chapter 5. Where's your brother? In front of the TV, Sam shut the door securely, a barrier between Dean and what was being discussed in this room. John relaxed slightly. Dean didn't need to know about the trouble he left in his wake, especially if the people who had died were people he knew and cared about. John thought briefly of the nurse, Kathleen, and hoped, despite his dislike for the woman, that she was not among the casualties. She had cared for Dean, and he would not have been surprised if Dean had been quite fond of her. Missouri returned her attention to the stove. Despite whatever may be coming their way, people need to eat. I've made up both guest rooms. Which way do you want to organize your sleeping arrangements? Despite his desire to keep an eye on Dean, the boy was used to having a room of his own. That was more than he'd ever had when he was with his family. The boys have the beds. I'll have the sofa if you don't mind. Missouri smiled. I have a cot in the basement if you want to move that upstairs. I'm sure Dean won't complain if he had to share a room. Shit. That woman always knew what he was thinking. Mind your P's and Q's, John Winchester. I won't tolerate bad language in my house. It was cold outside. He knew it was even before he stepped out the front door. Not that the knowledge made him put his coat back on. It wasn't important. He walked down towards his dad's car and touched the cold metal. Moonlight reflected off the hood. When he passed his hand into the light, it seemed to glow. He spent a lot of time in this car. He had memories. Some of them even made him smile. This was a nice car. He used to be able to drive it. He used to drive it, and Sam would complain about the music, and about the speed, and about how he would turn corners too fast. It had been home. He remembered his mom had been in this car when he was very little, and Sam had come home for the very first time in it. He'd been a kid in this car. He'd grown up in it. A sudden gust of wind ruffled his hair and made him look up, away from the object that represented everything he'd lost. It was there in the shadow of the tree in next door's garden. It wasn't hiding. He had no reason to hide. It was waiting for him. He wasn't surprised. He turned his back on the car and rested his body against it, laying it bare some of his weight. He looked towards the house he'd just left, ignoring his company for a short time. There were two lights on that he could see, one in the living room that he'd just left, the other coming from the kitchen window on the other side of the house. They were in the kitchen, talking about him. He wished his father wouldn't treat him like he would break. He was more emotional now, that was true, but he wasn't completely broken. He wasn't useless. He was getting better all the time. He stretched his leg, the bad one. It hurt sometimes, even though the injury that stopped it working properly was in his head. It hurt now. The arm never hurt that much. It just wasn't very cooperative. He flexed his arm, experimentally. Wind howled past him, through the air, chilling him to the core. The branches on the old apple tree groaned with the sudden movement. Beneath the tree it began to move. He waited as it got closer. The day that Dean had been hurt had been cold and wet and miserable. The weather had reflected the mood in the car almost perfectly. "Can you turn that damn thing off? I got a headache." Sam was whining. "Tough out, big guy." Dean was still having a hard time with having his little brother towering over him. Absolutely against the laws of nature for your baby brother to be bigger than you. "You could have waited with Dad, you know. You chose not to." Dean kept his eyes on the road, the spray making it very hard to see through the windscreen. "Like I was going to stay with him." There was venom in his voice. Dean risked a quick glance at his not-so-little brother. "Look, you asked for it. How the hell could you even think of inviting someone home, Sam? You knew he was going to be there, and you know how he feels about keeping family stuff, private. You bring people home. Hell, Sam, when I bring them home, they're not there for more than a couple of hours. I never turn on light, and we go straight to my room. Besides, Dad's never there." "You fucking embarrassed me, Dean. Going off like that, treating me like I was 12 or something." The person he'd attempted to bring home was someone who was going to college. Not Stanford, like him, but someone who'd applied and had managed to get in. Someone who he could talk to about the whole college thing. Someone he could share his excitement with. It wasn't as if he could talk to his family about it. "He'll calm down." Dean found himself slowing further as visibility was almost non-existent. "This is great, Sammy. Me and Dad in the haunted house, in the middle of a freaking thunderstorm." Lightning lit up the inside of the car. "Just like the movies." "You scared?" "Yeah, right, bitch. You just keep your eye on my back and I'll keep mine on yours. They pulled off the main road and started up the long, tree-lined approach to where they were meeting their father. Dean flipped the music off, not making concession to his brother's lousy mood, just acknowledging that they had almost reached their destination. Thanks. Dude, Dad'll be gone again soon. You know he doesn't like to let the grass grow. A week or two, he'll be off on another one of his solo jaunts. It'll be just you and me, and you can bring anyone home that you want. Sam looked at his brother, still focused on the road ahead. God, he felt like a complete shit. Dean tried to make him feel better, wanting to reassure that it would just be the two of them. He's planning on being gone himself soon. Dean would never forgive him for this. Their dad's truck was parked in front of the Marlowe house. You almost couldn't see it at all until you were right next to it. The rain wasn't letting up. More lightning. The thunder followed only a short distance behind. Dean killed the engine and turned to his little brother. Be nice. If we have to split up into two teams, just stick with me, all right? Dean pulled his collar up around his neck before he climbed out of the car. Sam's door slammed only moments later. Dean ran up the steps to the covered porch where his father was waiting. Did you get it? Sure, Dad. But how come you ran out of holy water anyway? I thought you had a 10-gallon tank of that stuff. John grumbled something about leak and fucking knife, but a loud clap of thunder that accompanied another flash of lightning almost drowned him out, and Dean couldn't quite make out what had happened with the knife to cause a leak. The look his father gave Sammy was enough for him not to bother even thinking about asking again. So what's the plan? John looked up at the house. There seems to be more than one spear in the house. It looks like Jackson Marlowe didn't die alone. Can you believe that crazy father of his actually had him buried inside the house? It was Sam's turn to mutter something. Luckily, John didn't seem to be paying too much attention. Either that, or he were deliberately ignoring the comment about control freak dads. I mean, bloody hell, Sam. There's a time and a place, and in the middle of hunt, even an easy one like this, isn't either. Dean turned to his dad. Any idea on the identity of the other spirit? Just what Cale Hawkins said about it being a girl. Description fits both Jackson's wife and his sister. We'll just have to hope that she's interred with Jackson. Yeah. Dean felt the rain trickling a path down the back of his neck. The porch roof was doing a shit job of keeping the rain off. At least once they got the show on the road, they'd be undercover. How do you want to do this? John looked at both his boys. If I start in the basement, you start in the attic. We'll meet on the second floor. His crazy old man could have put him anywhere. So trick walls, under floors, everything. We'll have to move the body anyway. I don't think Cale would appreciate us torching the place. John turned to his youngest son. You better get the shotgun, Sam. You're with me. Maybe with me, don't you think? John glared at Dean. It wasn't like his eldest to contradict him, but he could see the expression on Dean's face. He knew Dean hated the fighting, the arguing that seemed to be almost constant these days. Sam was restless. John could see it. Dean refused to. If they weren't careful, they'd wake up one morning and Sam wouldn't be there. He didn't need a sulking teenager to keep him company tonight. Okay, he'd give Dean what he wanted. Okay. Sam ran back to the car to get the required weapons from the truck. The look John gave Dean a clear message. You get your way this time, but don't second-guess me again. The rain poured in from the holes in the roof. Typical. Still getting rained on. Twin flashlight beams lit up the corner. They swept across the halls, looking for discoloration in the motor. Any indication that bricks had been removed from and then replaced in the wall. Looking for loose boards would really have been easier in daylight. Another flash of lightning and the whole place lit up, every corner, every shadow eradicated. There was something there, a blur, a shadow, a something. Torchlight showed nothing. You're losing it. There's nothing up here, Dean. That better not be your whiny voice, little brother. We'll give this place another 5 minutes. What is it with you? You missing Daddy that much, you want to go downstairs and meet up with him? Thunder muffled the fuck you, Dean, that came back in response. Despite the chill rain still seeping through his clothes, Dean laughed. Couldn't help it. Sam could be such a serious bitch sometimes. The guy really needed to lighten up. Another flash of lightning, and Dean was certain that what he'd seen in the corner was a trick of the light, an optical illusion caused by the sudden flash. He directed the torchlight to fill that area of the attic once again, but still revealed nothing. He had been almost certain that he'd seen something in the lightning flash. Something that was just a blur. Something that wasn't there if we relied on his torch. Maybe this thing requires natural light to be seen. Lightning was natural light, right? It wasn't simply sunlight that could be classed as natural. And maybe I'm just tired. He was just about to call Sam over, get his dad, when he heard his father calling. Still not sure that it was the right thing to do, leave the attic with his possible secrets, he started towards the door. Dad sounded insistent. He turned to make sure that Sam was following him. The lightning that flashed then revealed nothing. They were alone. He sighed. Yeah, must be tired. John had found the body walled up in an alcove of one of the bedrooms. He would never have seen the change in the brickwork if the current residents hadn't spent days stripping the paper off the walls before they'd been scared enough to leave. Jackson Marlowe lay on the floor of the room he had no doubt once walked through. It was even possibly the room his father had killed him in. Jackson Marlowe's body was alone. The other spirit, whoever she was, hadn't had her body walled up with Jackson, hadn't been victim to the same incident that caused Jefferson Marlowe to kill his son, who had threatened to leave the family house. Sam looked at his father and wondered how different John Winchester was to Jefferson Marlowe. He didn't believe his father would kill him for wanting to leave, but like Jefferson, he would probably see as a betrayal. He watched as his father and Dean dragged Jackson's body, now little more than a skeleton, deeper into the room, before lifting it onto the sheet that was already spread out. "What about the other one?" asked Dean as he wrapped the body in the sheet, which had already been soaked in a generous solution of salt and holy water. John picked up his torch and directed it back towards the hole in the wall. "She's not here. Jackson's the one that's been causing all the damage. Let's deal with him, and then we'll see about finding her." "Can't blame him for being pissed. His dad killed him just because he wanted a different life." Dean looked up, about to tell Sam, no doubt, to drop it. Not to start a row now, but his expression changed almost as soon as his eyes caught Sam. No, something behind Sam. Dean dropped the bundle in his hands and raced to where his baby brother was standing. Pulled his brother towards him, pushed him out of the way. By the time Sam turned around, Dean was already on the floor.